Marvin gave a challenge to the church leaders in the city a little while ago last year, saying Bristol is quite a divided city, and said, "Church, you go first in terms of stitching the city back together again, bringing the city together, crossing cultural backgrounds and divides and zones in the city," and was encouraging us to do that. And so a very natural connection we've had has been with Pastor Ossian and Fatima from God's House Church. And so we've been deliberately connecting a bit more, in light of what Marvin's challenge has been. But actually, it's such a joy to do that. It's such a great excuse to spend more time with them. And so I went and joined their church before sort of November time, maybe, or maybe it was a bit earlier than that last year. They actually asked me to go because they were feeling quite wooden in their worship. And they said, "Can you go and just help us to move a bit better and sort of really help us to dance?" And so I said, "Yeah, okay, that's cool. That's cool." Why are you laughing? but I personally just love being around them. I love it when Fatima led us in prayer. I love their faith and the way the Bible is so fresh and immediate to them. And so what a great excuse to have time together. And so Austin's going to come and speak to us now. I say Silas knows Austin very well as well. They go into the prison together, working with Mentor Me. And then we've got partnerships with the Night Shelter and all sorts of areas where our paths cross as churches. So, Lord, we pray that as Austin speaks to us, Lord, feed us. We want to plunder some of the riches of the gospel and Jesus that are within him. And we pray you open our eyes to see you afresh and feed us in our spirits and our hearts today. Through Ossian, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much, Pastor Chris. Is this my voice or the microphone? I don't know. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much, Pastor Chris. I would like to announce to you to say the dance that Pastor Chris gave that day, there was no such beautiful, marvelous dance ever. So it registered in heaven, though some of us were wondering when he will begin to move. Heaven was seeing a lot of movement. So we love you very much. We appreciate you, my brother Silas. I actually missed him when he was away. It just shows how God has knit our souls together. Together in prison, we are dynamite. Our combination has released a lot of things. So I'm grateful for my brother from another mother. But I know it's not the mother, is the father. So the father is one together with me, though our mothers are different. Praise the Lord. But God has given us a unique influence in this city, and we are passionately taking it through, and we will transform this city, and this city will honor God again. So I'm here because of God's love, really. I was told I finish at 22. I've got at 12 o'clock, I've got 22 minutes. So in 20 minutes, I'm not going to preach. I'm going to inspire you. Praise the Lord. If you want me to preach, you'll have to get me for another time. But I pray that this will be a time to inspire one another into tapping into that which is already in us lying dormant. Because Paul, talking to Timothy, says, "Timothy, there is something already inside of you. Don't look outside, it's invested in you. It's deposited inside you. The only way to bring it out is to stir it up." So I am praying that there will be a stirring up in this church. That there will be a stirring up in every heart. Because your name alone brings a lot of expectation in the community. We are hope. So when people look at you, they are already expecting something, because hope by nature has got that in it which expects good from you. So the community is expecting something from you. When we go to the prison, some are banging windows. They are just expecting a wave from us. I see them desperately trying to get our attention. When we wave, they get excited to wave at something other than a prison warden. Because our smiles and those of prison officers are different. The prison officers want to keep them in prison. We are there to give them hope. So when we come, they are more open to us because they know our message is different. Our message is comforting. Our message has got prayer. So all of us have got that inside. That's why you are hope for the community. That hope has been invested in you by God through the Holy Ghost. But Paul says to Timothy, stir it up. Amen. I believe this is the time to stir up the believers for the investment of the Holy Ghost that is already in us. In the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus is about to leave. You know, Christ is the hope of glory. He is the one who came to show us how to do it. You remember, the prophets tried, the priests tried, everybody else tried, but Jesus was the thing. Jesus was the business. He said, I will show you how to dispense hope. I will show you how to dispense love. And they were all amazed when they were walking with him. But in Acts chapter 1:8, he was about to return to the Father to say, I'm leaving it with you. But he says, wait in Jerusalem. Wait. There is something that must be deposited in you before you go out to dispense that hope as a witness. And he says, wait. And when that thing is deposited in you, wherever you go, you will give hope. Wherever you go, you will transform the world. Wherever you go, you will make a difference. My brothers and sisters, I am a witness of that witness, of the indwelling of God in my life. I've lived in Zimbabwe. I transformed and I was a witness. I lived in Botswana. I transformed and I was a witness. I lived in Namibia. I transformed and I was a witness. I lived in South Africa. I transformed. I'm a witness. I live in the United Kingdom. I am transforming and I am a witness. So what I'm trying to say to you is Hope Community Church is not this building. Each and every one head here is carrying hope inside them. Amen. You are the church wherever you go. Amen. And that is why I want to talk with the illustration of the life of Joseph. Because Joseph epitomizes the power of the indwelling of God inside him. Wherever Joseph was, there was change, there was transformation, there was God at work. So that is what we are. And I've been praying for this community to say, no, we got our gospel from the United Kingdom. God's banner must be raised again. And you are part of that assignment. Look at your neighbor. You know, inside there is dynamite. Believe it or not, inside you there is a certain power. There is a certain power, believe it or not. There is a power inside you. There is a power. And that power can transform. It can heal. It can save. It can restore. It can rebuild. Because that power is the indwelling of God in you. It's inside us, church. It doesn't matter whether they put you in a pit. It doesn't matter whether they take your coat and dip it in blood. It doesn't matter whether they sell you to the Ishmaelites. It doesn't matter whether they make you ride a camel. It doesn't matter whether you are cleaning Potiphar's house. It doesn't matter whether Mrs. Potiphar is chasing on you. It doesn't matter whether you find yourself in prison. It doesn't matter whether you are interpreting other people's prison. There is a time when that power is stirred up. You will stand before Pharaoh and you will be sought after. You will be an answer to that community. You will be an answer to the king, and the king will give you room to say, is there anyone like Joseph who has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? That was the story of Joseph. There is power in you. Our problem, we focus on the pit. We focus on our brothers. We mourn the lost coat. We mourn the temptations of Mrs. Potiphar. We mourn people letting us down. That's why the story of Joseph to me encourages me to keep on moving and dispensing the hope that God put inside me. Are you a son of Abraham? Are you a daughter of Abraham? Then there is an investment that God put in all of us. Through you, The nations of the earth shall be blessed. My brother, I am a vessel. I am a container. I am a depository of the blessings of God. And I'm confident about that. I know wherever I go, what is inside me begins to come out. It begins to come out. It begins to come out. It begins to come out. And so I'm here this morning, my brothers and sisters, to give you hope on top of the hope that you already have. That God is stirring up his church again. God is stirring us up again. Do not be weary. Do not be tired. The church will never die. The church will never be defeated. It's already an eternal organism. Jesus Christ says, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. In John 11, talking to Lazarus' sisters, what does he say? Whosoever believeth me, even though he dies, he will not die. How do you understand such? Whosoever believeth in me, even if you die, you will not die. Because sometimes there are situations that make us think we are dead and finished. But with God, there is a power that resurrects beyond what men can think about. So my brothers and sisters, my word for you this morning, this afternoon is, you are witnesses of the working of God in this community. And witness by itself bears the name of evidence. Evidence. Our evidence must be seen. So I want to take you through quickly in these 10 minutes through the life of Joseph. Joseph had God inside him. He had his Emmanuel time. That's why he did what he did. And that gives us an interesting story. I want us to look into the book of Genesis. We are anchoring on Acts 1:8. Wait until you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the presence of God inside you. That's where it starts. But I want to take you through the account of Joseph quickly to inspire you that you have what it takes and it will come forth and bring change to the community. Praise the Lord. You know, the book of Genesis is an interesting chapter. In chapter 37, we see Joseph introduced to us. If there was an allowance or permission to restructure the Bible, I will remove chapter 38 from where it is. I call it the lost chapter. Because it falls in between a beautiful story. We hear about Joseph and what God is doing, and then there is Tamar and everybody else, and then we carry on with Joseph again. So if I had a way, I would restructure that and put it away. But I know God has a purpose in bringing it there. We see in Genesis 37, the beginning of the story of Joseph, where he is dreaming dreams. Joseph is not interpreting dreams there. All his dreams, or both his dreams, were interpreted by another. His brothers and his father. All he did was he dreamed. But what am I saying? What Joseph needed for his future was the dream. Because what transformed Joseph into that place of impact was working with dreams. But he already had dreams in his system as a young boy. They just had to be stirred up. They just had to be stirred up. We see in this chapter, and then in chapter 39, there is something that I want us to see. After Joseph is relocated from his home, in verse 2 we are told, the Lord was with Joseph. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. That's the critical thing, church. Sometimes we forget. How many can actually confess to say, sometimes I forget that God is with me? Let's show by her. I do forget sometimes. And that's what the devil wants to find you at. A place where you forget one of the greatest investments in your life, the presence of God. Because the presence of God is what makes the difference. We can have everything else. Without the presence of God, we will have no impact. But that presence of God has been deposited in us. That's why Jesus Christ said, wait for it. And once you get it, things will move. So Joseph had God. And because he was with God, he prospered and did everything. He had an impact in a foreign house. Because he was with God, he had an impact. His story is so amazing. And from there, the impact was so much that it began to draw attention. You know, and many of us fall for the attention. While he was a worker, when he came into that house, Mrs. Potiphar had no interest in Joseph. But as the glory began to come out, the prosperity began to come out, the success began to come out, the change began to come out, he began to be noticed. When God begins to work through you, you will be noticed. Where doors had been closed for your ministry, they shall be open. They shall be open because God is stirring up his work again. And Joseph remembered the most important possessions of his life. Okay, let me address men here. My brothers, okay, ladies, just give us a break. We want to have our men moment. Look at this. Mrs. Potiphar is one of the most powerful women in Egypt. She has the most beautiful palace. She has the most beautiful palace. She knows where every bodyguard is. She knows where every CCTV camera is. And she says, Joseph, you are so beautiful. If you sleep with me now, I will cover every threat. Nobody will know. I have so much power to conceal, to cover. My boy, we just do this thing because there is something about you. Please. No one will know. How many of us will do what David Joseph did, brothers? I don't think I would have reached that. That's my wife for you. That's how we go. Why am I taking you this way? For you to understand the treasure that has been bestowed in you, what it carries and the potential of transformation that it will have. Because our hope is not just to defend us from failures with threats like Mrs. Potiphar. The hope and the dreams had to carry the entire nation of Israel. So that's what God had in mind with Joseph's dreams. He wanted to save the whole of Israel from starvation, and he wanted to save the whole of the Israel nation through the patriarchs. Because it's Joseph who brought them to Egypt to save and grow them in preparation for Moses. If Joseph had succumbed to the few promises of Potiphar's wife, that entire plan and vision would have been destroyed. So why do we struggle as a church? I agree, there has been a lot of failures in the church. Abuse of children, abuse of women, abuse of that. There has been a lot because our church leaders succumbed to Mrs. Potiphar. And because of that, it affected other things. That's why today people don't want to have anything to do with church. Have you ever seen that? Anything religious, I don't want. Anything religious, I don't want. Because we forgot the role for the investment in us. God did not beautify me to be attractive to women. God did not beautify me to take money from the church. God did not beautify me to enrich me with those things. God beautified me to prepare me for where I'm going. So that investment is God is in you. So how did Joseph respond to Mrs. Potiphar? I cannot sin before who? Before God. And I pray that we become more conscious of God in us than man. What we do, we don't do for man. We do for God. Because he is the one who is chosen to reside in us and make us the hope of the world. That's why it says, Christ in you, the what? The hope is the Christ in you. But the Christ in you requires us to live under certain ways. And Joseph did that pretty well. So from there we see that he's now taken over to the prison. What happens in prison? The same happens. In the prison, he becomes successful. He becomes effective. He's given the same position and he is interpreting dreams of other people. Sometimes it looks like other people are doing well and you are not. No, your time is coming. Amen. Your time is coming. Do not worry about other people's interpretations, because your dream was already interpreted in chapter 37. The sun, the moon, and the stars, they shall all bow before you. The dream was already there. The interpretation was already there. So if we learn to hold on to the initial interpretation God has given us, we will protect it until that happens. We will protect it until that happens. And indeed, in the end, we see Jacob coming in. We see all the brothers surrounding Joseph in Egypt. And without them realizing, they bow. There is somebody, the son somewhere, that is waiting to bow around you. And it's not you they bow to. It's the God in you. Because we are told here, and God was with Joseph. God was with him. God is with you. And it doesn't end there. I like it when it comes to chapter 39. Look at chapter 39 there. Chapter 39 and the verses 21. Brother Silas, can you read that together aloud with your English voice? Because I don't want my Zulu accent to mix this one up. Give it an English accent there.
'But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him.
Stop there. Stop there. That's what I want. Who was with Joseph?
The Lord.
Who was with Joseph?
The Lord.
So my brothers, my word for you is, if we are to give hope, if we are to transform the world, we need the Lord. And the Lord is already inside us. We have to be stirred up to that realization and begin to listen to him. Because from the prison, God caused David not to dream this time, but what? To interpret. Joseph, sorry. Joseph is no longer dreaming, but what is he doing now? He is now interpreting. That essence of interpreting is now meeting the needs of the community. He is now meeting the immediate needs, because they are confused with their dreams. He is now telling them what is going to happen. And what happens? As soon as they are out, they forget a little while. But Pharaoh gets into a problem and they know where he can help, get help from. So if you allow God to rise, someone somewhere you have helped will point others to you. They will point others to you. And David, Joseph comes before Pharaoh. All right, we'll call Joseph David for now. And David for Joseph. But what I'm trying to say to you is, look at the process of the witness of God inside Joseph. What is he doing? Pharaoh doesn't say, please interpret my dreams. What does he say? I've even forgotten the dream. Listen, I had a dream that troubled me. I want the interpretation, but I've forgotten the dream. I don't know who will help me. It's easier to interpret, but my brother, for me to tell you what you dreamt, and then I interpret. God has to be in you. And all of us have that capacity. All of us have it. Because Joseph says, God is the giver of dreams. God is the interpreter of dreams. And the God who resides in me shall tell you your dream. He shall tell you the interpretation. He shall show you how to solve it. And in the end, that's why when Pharaoh looks around, he says, no. There is no such witness. I've never seen it in Egypt. The kind of person you are looking for, we don't have them here. It's only you. And from there on, the church is restored. They have authority over all of Egypt. He knows where to put his family where it comes. Says Goshen. He is preparing for Moses. He is preparing for the tabernacle. He is preparing for the Ten Commandments. Church, the coming generations are waiting for us to stir up and give hope. How many agree with me that Joseph gave hope to Potiphar? He realized that the thing he had been looking for, Joseph, was the answer. The prisoner, they say he was in charge. Imagine you go to jail and they make you the prison warden. You are the prisoner, but they give you the keys. You are in charge. That's what Joseph was in jail. And after that, he is in charge of Egypt. Church, God is taking us to a place where we will restore godliness to the United Kingdom. Not only to the United Kingdom, but to the entire world. My message, begin to stir it up. It's already inside you. It's already inside. And the name of God will be lifted up again. It will be lifted up. That's why Jesus Christ said, wait, you will be my witnesses starting in Jerusalem. And then you go where? Samaria. And everywhere else. That is our message. So when we come here, it's to inspire one another. But I want each and every one of you to begin to pray for a stirring. What dreams will I interpret? What dreams will I dream? What things must I resist? What structures must I put in place? How do I begin to guide and direct where I was going? It was interesting. In closing, I told you I will just inspire. Brother Silas took me to prison. You remember the journey. I had wanted to go to prison, not to be arrested. Well, how do I put it? I had wanted to go and minister in prison since 2008. I could not get there. I tried applications and everything. It wasn't working. Not until I met Silas. That was my Ishmaelite. You know, he carried me on his camel. Because sometimes you don't understand how God works. If we look at it from outside, it was, oh, God is so cruel. God sometimes is cruel to be kind. Because he's taking us there. Samuel took me, Silas on his camel. And before I knew it, I was in the prison. And when I went to the prison, I was accompanying my friend. And one day he just said, would you like to preach? Would you like to interpret this dream? I said, of course, the God in me can give the interpretation. I ministered for the first time. After that, the prison chaplain says, wow, that was amazing. I've never seen so much order among prisoners. Would you want to come again? I said, of course. I said, of course, that's how God works. And then he says, do you want to do Bible study? I said, no. I began to interpret. I said, there are many people doing Bible studies. And then we said, we want to teach men how to be men. That's why they are in prison. They don't know how to be men. He says, how would you like to do it? We put a course together with Silas. Every Monday now we are in prison. Ministering to men. And when they come out, they come to church, they bring their wives. And now my wife has been asked to go to prison for the women. We are now taking over Egypt. 2 weeks ago, when Silas was in America, I took a group of 12 men from my church to the prison for a tour. And we went there, we presented what we'd like to do. They said, we are giving you all the Saturdays, do as you please. From 2008, where I could not get in, to a time where I got in on a Sunday, we were given a Monday, now we have a Saturday. We don't know what to do with. But we are planning to say we need to put something together because God is establishing himself again. Why is that happening? It's not because of a master's degree. It's something called God. inside us. And he is in all of us. There is a place for you to express that. And that's my word for you. It's going to be better. It's going to be better. Let's get stirred up. My brother, you will sing in stadiums. Have you ever thought? You will sing in stadiums. You will sing in nations. Because that's how God works. We are here just, I call this a pit stop. Because I like Formula One racing. You just pass in there. How many know that you don't even take a long time there? They put up your wheels, check up, and you are gone. But many of us want to park at a pit stop forever. And the God is stirring us up. He's going to be kicking us out soon. And we will touch the world. God bless you. Let us receive Pastor Chris. And we will come to him.
Okay, so people were going to do kids in 1 second, but I'm stirred up. That's appropriate, isn't it? And if anyone wants to join us, we're going to pray that we'd be stirred up as individuals and as a church. So firstly, I just want everyone, if you want that, no, you don't have to, but if you want that, just get up on your feet. And Pastor, would you pray for us that we'd be stirred up?
My wife to come and help us. There has to be a stirring up. Church, we are the hope of the world. It's not anywhere else. It's in the church. That's why we are called the light of the world, the salt of the earth. It's in us. We are the business. We are the deal. Doesn't matter what you have done, the blood of Jesus is there to cover that. The blood of Jesus is there to purify. The blood of Jesus is there to strengthen. The blood of Jesus is there to pick you up again, because there is a deposit in you. And it's coming to pass. We will pray that God will stir you up. You will lay hands on the sick, they shall be healed. You will speak with wisdom. You will be an answer. You will be invited. The lame shall walk. The blind shall see. It's all inside of us. We need a stirring up. We don't need a bishop. We don't need a king. The king is already inside us. The king of glory. The king of kings. Jesus is already invested in us. We just need to stir it up in prayer this morning. And we'll help Pastor Fatima pray for us. Just raise your hands and in faith believe that God is shaking that gift up to begin to flow.